Christmas and happy holidays, everyone, from WGN Radio. This is John Williams. I'm standing in our showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. This studio is chock full of people from WGN Radio who are here to give you a holiday gift for the next 2 hours. It won't be a normal John Williams show. It's going to be a very special production called It's a Wonderful Left. It's presented by the Illinois Lottery, where anything is possible. By the way, if during the next couple of hours you feel so moved, you can make a donation to the Salvation Army at my kettle, johnwilliamskettle.org. Visit johnwilliamskettle.org. And so now we begin with our live studio production of It's a Wonderful Left.
This is the story of George Bailey, an ordinary man who lives in Bedford Falls, New York. But George Bailey, more than anything, wanted to see the world, the exciting world that lay somewhere beyond his hometown. However, our story doesn't begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in this world. It begins in heaven, where anything is possible, and where the superintendent of angels is briefing an apprentice angel named Clarence.
Clarence Oddbody, Angel, second class, reporting for duty, Your Honor. Are you really sending me down to Earth?
Yes. You see, there's a man in trouble down there. At precisely 10:45 p.m. Earth time, a man named George Bailey will be thinking about ending his life.
Oh, my. And you want me to stop him? Well, then maybe I could earn my wings. I've only been waiting 200 years.
Listen, Clarence, you must stop him if you can. Now, let me brief you about George Bailey's case history. You see, when George was a boy...
Oh, no, that's okay, Your Honor. All I need is a plan. You see, Your Honor, I'm reading The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer always has a plan.
I see. Well, if you can help George Bailey with your plan, Clarence, you just may get your wings.
Yes! Thank you for your confidence in me, boss.
Now, when George Bailey was a boy, his little brother fell through the ice.
And George jumped in to save him.
Yes, but as a result, George has a bad ear.
Oh, sure, the icy water infection, I'll bet.
A few months later, young George was working after school at Gower's drugstore. But on this day, Mr. Gower's only son died of influenza. Devastated, Mr. Gower was trying to drown his sorrow in whiskey. When just then...
That prescription?
No, Mr. Gower, I...
Why didn't you deliver that right away? The little Blaine girl's sick. You lost it. You lost it,
no,
didn't you?
No, Mr. Gower, here it is.
Here? Here? Why, you...
Ah, Mr. Gower, my ear.
You good for nothing, lazy...
Oh, you're hurting my sore ear, Mr. Gower.
Loafer. Shut
no,
up.
No, Mr. Gower, You put something wrong in those pills. I...
Shut up, you little...
Look, I know you're sad. You're upset about your son dying. You've been drinking, but you put something bad in those capsules. I didn't know what to do. Look at them, Mr. Gower. You took the powder from this bottle. It's poison.
Poison? Poison? Oh, my God.
Don't hurt my sore ear again, please.
Oh, no, George.
That's why I didn't deliver the medicine, Mr. Gower. I wanted to ask my pop to make sure, but he was busy. He couldn't... I won't ever tell a soul, Mr. Gower. I know you're sad. I won't tell anyone. Hope to die.
Well, George grew up, and he wanted to go to college. But there just wasn't enough money. So he worked 4 years at the Bailey Building and Loan Association.
Building and loan?
Yes. George's father was in the building and loan business. He and George's uncle Billy. But it was a case of high ideals and low bank account.
Those two always seem to go together.
Mm-hmm. George worked for his father and saved enough to pay for college. But first, he was going to summer in Europe, working his way across on a cattle boat.
Gee, it's hard to believe this is my last night at the Old Bailey boarding house.
Well, I'll miss you, George.
Oh, I'm going to miss you too, Ma. You too, Pop. But hey, what's the matter? You look kind of tired.
I had another run-in with Henry Potter today.
Oh, that old money-grubbing buzzard. I thought when you put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up a little. I don't understand somebody like Mr. Potter.
Potter owns about everything he wants in this town, except the Bailey Building and Loan. Maybe that's why he hates us, so yeah.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo cufflinks for tonight's dance?
Oh, sure. Help yourself there, Harry.
Well, where are they? Here, in your suitcase. Say, where'd you get that beat-up old suitcase anyway, George?
At the Emporium, Harry. Mr. Gower brought it for George.
A going-away present?
Yep, far away. You see, one of these days, that bag will be plastered with travel stickers, you know? Rome and Baghdad, Samarkand.
I guess you're going to have a pretty full summer there, George.
Oh, I'm going to have a pretty full life, Pop.
So why don't you come to the dance tonight?
Oh, no, I'd be bored to death.
Oh, but what a wonderful death. Well, I got to run.
Was I like that when I graduated from high school, Mom?
Pretty much. I sure wish we could send Harry to college with you, George.
Oh, yeah, but Harry can take over my job at the Building and Loan, work for 4 years like I did, and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job. Maybe you were born old, George.
Now, how's that, Poppy? You know, my trick ear.
I said you were born old. George, you wouldn't get out of college. You'd come back and work at the Building and Loan, would you?
Oh, no. Now, Pop, I couldn't face being coped with the rest of my life in a shabby little office with all those.
I see.
I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean it that way, but it's just staying here, I just go crazy, you see? I want to do something big, something important.
George, but in a small way, we are doing something important, George. In that shabby little office, we help people buy their own homes, George.
Oh, I know, Pop, but I feel like I need to get away or I'd bust.
I guess you're right. Get that education, boy, then do what you want, son.
You know, Pop, are you ready for a shock?
Kinda.
I think you're a pretty good guy.
Well, gee, thanks, George. Look, why don't you go over to Harry's and dance? You'll have fun, you see?
Oh, I guess I could drop in. Maybe I will at that. I'll see you later there, Pop.
So George went to the dance.
And at that dance, he fell in the pool with Mary Hatch. Later, he was walking her home. They were feeling pretty good, Clarence. As a matter of fact, they were feeling wonderful.
Oh, Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon. Hot dog, eh, Mary?
Oh, George, we sound wonderful.
Hey, you know something, Mary? I'd almost say you were the prettiest girl in town. You look wonderful.
Oh, why don't you say it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I will. Hey, how old are you anyway?
18.
18? Why, it seems only last year you were 17. Hey, look where we are.
Ah, the old Granville house.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, George. Even though it's deserted, I love this old place.
Bah, with deserted houses, you make a wish and you try to bust a window.
But it's such a lovely house, George. I want to live there someday.
Oh, in there? I wouldn't live there if I were a ghost. Not a watch. How about that, huh? Pretty good shot, eh? I broke the window.
What'd you wish for, George?
Wish? I don't know. Not just one wish, Mary. I had a whole hat full of them. You see, I'm leaving this crummy little town. I want to see the world. I want to see Italy and Greece, the Parthenon. That's just this summer, too. Then I'm coming back. I'm going to college to see what they know, of course.
Of course.
And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and bridges a mile long. Then I'm going to, come on, Mary. What is it you want? Do you want the moon? All you got to do is just say the word, Mary, and I'll.
Okay, the moon. I'll take it. Then what?
Then what? Well, then you swallow it, and it dissolves, and moonbeams shoot out of your fingers, and then, do you think I'm talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her?
How's that? You say what?
Our youth. It's wasted on the wrong people.
Well, hey, just a minute there. Hey, you. Come on back here, and I'll show you some kissing. That'll be good.
George?
Uncle Billy, look, I'm going to kiss Mary right now. Watch.
George, get in the car, quick. It's your father. He's had a stroke.
What? How's it? My father.
Come on, George. Get in, hurry.
You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life, WGN Radio's holiday gift to you. Remember, every time a Salvation Army bell rings, an angel gets its wings. I'm John Williams, and our story will continue in a moment. Presented by the Illinois Lottery, anything's possible. When we last left George Bailey, he'd been love-struck by the delightful Mary Hatch, until his Uncle Billy interrupted with the sad news that his father had had a stroke.
Well, George's father died that night, Clarence. And that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan had a meeting.
Mr. Chairman!
Mr. Potter.
Now that Peter Bailey is dead, I move that we dissolve the building and loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to a receiver.
Can't do that.
Peter Bailey was not a businessman. Ideals without common sense can ruin this town. And what's that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. Now, who'll second my motion to dissolve?
No, you hold on there, Mr. Potter. Just hold on.
I meant no respect. No disrespect, George, but your
father... Now, wait a minute. When my father ever started this penny ante building and loan, now I'll never know. But just remember this, Mr. Potter. That rabble you're talking about, well, they do most of the working and the paying and the living and the dying in this community.
So?
Well, if it's too much to ask to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms with a bath, I don't think so. Anyway, my father didn't think so either. People were human beings to him. And you, sir, you're a warped, frustrated old man. And they're cattle. In my book, Mr. Potter, my father died a richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book, George. I'm talking about the building and loan.
No, you're talking about something you can't get your greedy hands on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Well, this town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can borrow a few dollars without crawling to you, Mr. Potter. Come on, Uncle Billy.
So, what happened, George?
You won't believe it, boy. Oh, boy, you should have heard George.
Oh, yeah, right now? Well, they're voting us out of business.
Well, who cares? Will you get out of here, George? You missed your boat trip. Do you want to miss college, too?
George, they just voted Potter down.
Whoopee! We're still in business.
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Wait. They've appointed me? Well, I'm leaving for college. And right now, Uncle Billy's your man.
Oh, George, you gotta take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise. They said so. Without you, there'll be no...
So, George Bailey didn't make it to college, huh, boss?
No, he didn't, Clarence. George gave his college money to his brother, Harry. Harry went instead.
But what about that girl? You know, Mary?
Oh, George saw her now and again, but Mary also went away to college. George worked 4 more years at the building and loan, waiting for Harry to finish school, come back, and take over. George still hoped to see the world, though. He planned to work in the oil fields of Venezuela. Except, when Harry came back, he brought a girl with him. A wife.
So, George, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
Ruth? She's swell. Harry's got all the luck.
She'll keep him on his toes.
Yeah, well, she'll keep him out of Bedford Park anyway.
Bedford Park? You mean Bedford Falls, George?
No, Bedford Park. It's the home of the huge water supply.
Well, I've heard that all of Bedford Park is an enterprise zone.
Yeah, with multiple TIF districts and tax incentives if your project qualifies.
Well, call Marilyn at 708-458-2067. But not now. Ruth's father has a good job for Harry up in Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. And that means...
Oh, then you can't. I'm sorry, George.
Yeah.
Well, did you know Mary Hatch is back from college, too? Nice girl, that Mary.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, stop this moping, George Bailey. It's not like you.
Well, what do you want me to do there, Mother?
Give me one reason why you shouldn't go see Mary.
Well, how about that Sam Wainwright, for one? Sam's crazy about Mary.
Well, she's not crazy about him. Mary's got her eye on you, George. Besides, Sam Wainwright is in New York.
Okay, Mother. Just try getting rid of me, eh? Well, I think I'll go find a girl and I'll do some passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Good night, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, by the way, do you need any books down at the library?
Library? George, you go and see Mary, do you hear?
George, what are you doing out there?
What? Oh, me? Well, I was just passing by.
Yes, several times. I wondered if you were picketing or haunting me.
Now, why would I be doing that?
Your mother phoned, saying you were coming over.
My mother, eh? She phoned. Well, I just happened to be just passing by, that's all.
Are you coming in, or aren't you?
Well, yeah, all right, if you insist. I'll come in for a minute.
So, it's nice about Harry and his new wife, isn't it?
Yeah. Ruth, yeah, it's okay.
What's the matter? Don't you like her?
Well, of course I do. Ruth's a peach.
Oh, it's just marriage in general that you're down on, right?
No. Marriage is all right, Mary, for some people. I mean, it's fine for Harry and for Sam Wainwright and for you.
For Sam?
Mary, who's down there?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
Oh, me? Nothing. Not a thing.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
He is? You tell him to go right back home. Sam Wainwright said he'd call tonight from New York.
I guess so, Mother. So, George, how about a little music here?
You know, you're that's nice. That's nice. You know, your mother, you should... Oh, that music. Oh, I didn't come over here just to...
Well, what did you come here for?
Well, you know, I don't know. You're supposed to be the girl with all the answers. How about you? How about you telling me?
Why don't you go home?
Okay, I will go home.
Mary! The telephone!
Oh, I don't even know why I came here.
Mary!
Good night.
Good night!
Mary, maybe it's Sam. Answer it. There it is.
All right. I'll get it, Mother. Ooh, George, on your way out, could you turn off the phonograph?
Why, sure. I'd be glad to. Oh, that stupid song.
Hello, Hatch resident, Sam.
Hey, Mary, good to hear your voice.
Oh.
Excuse me, Mary, it seems I forgot my hat.
Oh, Sam, it's so nice of you to call. You know, Sam, an old friend of yours is here, George Bailey.
What? Old Mossback George in person?
Yep, old Mossback George.
Hee-haw. Well, put old George on. I want to say hi.
Wait a minute, Sam. George?
Mary, you idiot. Sam doesn't want to talk to George.
He does, too. He even asked for George.
What is it, Mary? You see, I'm in a hurry. I've got to get out.
Wait, it's Sam Wainwright. He wants to talk to you.
Sam Wainwright? Okay. Hi, Sam.
Boy, some pal you are. What are you, trying to steal my girl?
Steal your... No, hey, nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Mary, here's Sam again.
No, wait a minute. George, wait. I want to speak to both of you. Put Mary on the extension upstairs.
He wants to get you on the extension upstairs.
I can't. Mother's on the extension.
I am not.
George, just put your head in a little closer. We can both hear. Sam, we're both on the line.
All right, good. Now, I have a plan that's going to make us all rich. George, one time in Martini's Tavern, you told me about making plastics out of, what was it, chili beans, soybeans?
Oh, yeah. It was soybeans. Yeah, okay.
Does Orion think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Soybeans are up 30%.
Well, my father's investing in it, George. We're going to open up a factory. We might even have a job for you. That is, if you're not still married to that broken-down old building and loan.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see, Sam.
Oh, Mary, will you tell George this is the chance of a lifetime? You hear me, don't you?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Yeah, give me that phone.
George?
Now, you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics. I don't want any job. I don't want to get married, ever, to anybody. Do you understand me?
Oh, George.
I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to trick me in any way at all.
George.
Mary, oh, Mary,
I know.
Really? You're listening to It's a Wonderful Laugh, WGN Radio's holiday gift to you. You're listening to It's a Wonderful Laugh, presented by the Illinois Lottery. This is John Williams. If you feel so moved over the next 90 minutes, feel free to go to johnwilliamskettle.org. You can make a salvation to my virtual kettle and help the Salvation Army do the most good. Thank you, Lou Manfredini. And now our story continues. So far, we've listened to how George Bailey has expressed his love to Mary Hatch, but aware that he has competition for her in the form of Mr. Sam Wainwright.
So, Clarence, George and Mary were married that October, and the two headed off for their honeymoon in Ernie Bishop's taxicab.
So, where are you two heading on this deluxe honeymoon?
Oh, we're shooting the works there, Ernie. It'll be the highest hotel, the richest caviar, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls. Then what?
I don't know. Then what, dear?
The moon! Who cares?
Hey, George! George, there's something going on at the bank. A run, it looks like.
What? Wait, well, pull over there, Ernie.
Oh, George, let's not stop, please. Ernie, just go straight to the train station. George, don't.
Oh, no, wait a minute, honey. I gotta see what this is. I'll be back in a second.
No, George, please. George, don't go.
This is WGN Radio's very live production of It's a Wonderful Laugh. We continue now with Act Two.
In heaven, the superintendent of angels is still reviewing George Bailey's case history. Clarence, an apprentice angel, is eager to depart for his mission to Earth.
Goodness, boss, I've seen enough background. If George Bailey's contemplating suicide, I better head down to Earth right away.
Hold it, Clarence. We're not anywhere near the point where George Bailey's thinking of taking his life. Now, where were we?
Oh, boss, you got a script in your hand. Pay attention. George and Mary were heading out of town on their honeymoon, and they ran into a bank run. Why
yes.
am I doing George Bailey's voice?
I don't know, but you're doing it pretty well. It was the financial panic of 1932. You see, bank troubles were very prevalent back then.
Whoa, what's going on there, boss?
In the lobby of the building and loan, dozens of worried shareholders were clamoring for their savings. Meanwhile, George found Uncle Billy in his office.
It's a bank panic, George. The bank had a run. They needed cash, so they demanded we pay off our loan immediately. It was like the last time the Illinois legislature came for a visit. I handed over all our cash. I had to.
Wait a minute there, Uncle Billy. You handed over all our cash? But that means...
The whole town's gone nuts, George. Now we're in the same pickle as the bank.
But our charter requires we stay open till 6 p.m., and if we don't, why the state can take our license away.
Stay open until 6? Without any money?
Aw, come on. Let's just see that crowd out there. Okay, hold on now. All right, just hold on, please. No, please, everybody, don't panic.
We want our money, George. Where's our money?
Oh, come on, everybody. Wait. Just a minute now. Listen here. Come on. You've got it all wrong. Your money isn't here. Now, just a minute there. Let me explain. Your money's not here. It's not in the safe. No. The money you've invested in this building and loan was put into people's houses, you see. It's in Ernie's house and your house and 100 other houses. You want me to foreclose on them? You want me to throw them out of their homes?
$242 in my shares here. Close my account. I want my money now.
Okay, Charlie, okay. Now sign this form and you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, that's what you all agreed on, you angry throng. That's what you agreed on when you bought your shares.
I got my money. Old man Potter's taking over the bank. He'll pay you 50 cents on the dollar for your shares.
Come on, let's take our shares to Potter. Half is better than nothing.
Wait, everybody. Come on, please, folks. Don't do this. Stop. Listen, would you? If Potter gets a hold of the building and loan, there won't be a decent house built in this town again. Can't you see that? You can't take over the bank. He's already got the bus line and the department store. Now he's after us, too. He wants to keep us living in his shacks and paying the rent. That's what he decides.
That's a lot of fine talk, George, but I've got doctor's bills to pay.
My husband got laid off. We can't feed our kids on faith.
Yeah, that's right. What about that?
Come on.
George? Darling?
Yeah, hey there, Mary.
How much do they need? We've still got some money, the honeymoon money.
Why, yeah. Hey, wait, folks. I got $2,000 right here. Okay. We've got some cash. All right, Charlie. Now, how much do you need?
$242.
Oh, come on, Charlie. How about just enough to tide you over, huh?
$242.
Okay, if that's what it takes. Uncle Billy, give Charlie here $242. Okay, all right, let's go to you, Mrs. Davis. How about you?
$17 then.
Oh, thank you. Okay, now who's next now?
Me.
Let's try to spread it out. Let's just spread it out a bit, huh?
Let's go.
Look at the clock, George. Look.
Oh, I'm looking, Uncle Billy. I'm looking. 5 seconds and 4 seconds.
Three, two,
One. 6 o'clock. Oh, we made it.
Oh, lock the door. Lock the door. Oh, how about that? We're still in business, Uncle Billy, even if we've only got $2 left.
George, telephone.
Okay, Tilly. Now I hear it. Oh, by the way, call my wife, will you? I forgot all about...
Mrs. Bailey is on the line.
No, that can't be. I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want Mrs. Bailey. Oh, wait, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, right, that is my wife. Hey, give me the phone, would you? Hello, is this Mrs. Bailey?
Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey.
Well, Mary, we survived. I'm sorry, I...
Now that you're done saving things, come home. Come home.
Come home? Well, what home?
Our home.
How's that?
Our home, George, at 320 Sycamore.
320 Sycamore, huh? Whose home is that?
Our home.
Huh?
Our home, saphead.
But Mary, how can we have a home?
Right now.
Right now? Okay, sure. All right, sure, I guess.
I love you.
I love you too, honey, and I'm coming home.
You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life, WGN Radio's holiday gift to you. Remember, every time a Salvation Army bell rings, an angel gets its wings. I'm John Williams, and our story will continue in a moment. It's presented by the Illinois Lottery. Anything's possible. You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. Remember, johnwilliamskettle.org is where you can make an online donation to the Salvation Army. And now we return to It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey was the hero after the bank crash when he saved the savings and loan. Let's go back to our story.
Clarence, do you know where 320 Sycamore was?
Well, it's a house they were talking about. It's a mother-in-law's house, isn't it?
No, it was the old Granville house where George and Mary threw rocks and made wishes. You see, her wish was to marry George and live in the Granville house, and that's where they honeymooned. That's where they set up house, and that's where they were still living 2 years later when Mr. Potter asked George to drop by his office.
Now, George, I suppose you're wondering why you're here.
Oh, I have no idea, Mr. Potter, but I'm pretty sure you do.
Now, look, you're a young man, 27, 28, married, doing afternoon drive, making what, $40 a week?
You're not off by much.
Okay.
45.
Okay, 45. And if you were a common, ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing well. However, you're no common, ordinary yokel, son. You're an intelligent, resourceful, ambitious young man who hates his job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you hate the building and loan almost as much as I do, George. You've been dying to get out of this town ever since you were born. You see your friends, your brother, go places while you're trapped here, trapped into frittering away your life, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Is this a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
Yeah, so what's your point there, Mr. Potter?
My point is that I want to hire you, George.
Hire me? To do what?
To manage my affairs, oversee my properties, pick my clunk letter of the day, and I can start you off at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey. Remember me, the building and loan George Bailey?
Yes, the George Bailey whose ship has just come in, providing he has the brains to climb aboard.
Yeah, but what about the building and loan?
Forget the building and loan. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Do we have a deal or not?
No, we don't. I can't do it. If you offered me $1 million to stay in Bedford Falls to be your stooge, the answer would still be no. Now let me out of here. I'm sorry I'm so late, Mary.
Just knitting, George. So, what did Mr. Potter want to see you about?
Oh, nothing really. Just just talk, you know. But geez, why'd you marry a guy like me anyway?
Well, I didn't want to be an old maid.
But I was going to see the world, Mary. I was going to go places and build things. I was going to give you the moon, but instead, what have I given you, huh? Not much. Some husband I am. I feel terrible.
Me too, George. Especially mornings.
I mean, you could have married Sam Wainwright, anybody else.
But I didn't want anybody else. I wanted my baby to look like you.
You didn't even get a honeymoon. No fancy. You what?
My baby.
Baby? Baby what? Oh, you mean you're on the nest?
Be gone? What? What?
Well, Clarence, Mary had her baby. A boy.
Oh. So it wasn't a chicken?
No.
Well, that's nice, boss.
Then another one, a girl.
Good for them.
But George slaved away at the building and loan, and Potter made things tough for him. Then came the war. Mary had another baby, but still found time to run the USO. Uncle Billy and Mr. Gower sold war bonds, and George's brother, Harry, became a real hero. He shot down 15 planes.
And George, what did George do in the war?
Well, George was 4F due to the bad ear. He was an air raid warden. But on VE Day, he wept and prayed. And on VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
Well then, we're just about up to today, huh, boss?
Yes. Now, the only thing you don't know about George Bailey, Clarence, is what happened and that has him down there at this moment wanting to die.
Suicide. Well, what was it, boss?
All right. Today is the day before Christmas, and George is very excited.
Hey, Tilly, did you see the newspaper? Commander Harry Bailey, decorated by the President, my brother, the Medal of Honor.
Gosh, George, that's just swell.
Commander Bailey downed 15 enemy planes, the last, a kamikaze, just as it was about to dive into a troop transport. Aw, think of it, Harry saved hundreds of lives.
George, the bank examiner's here.
Oh, the annual audit, right. Well, good afternoon.
Carter, bank examiner.
Hey, Tilly, bring Mr. Carter, bank examiner, here to the conference room and bring the books, too. Where's Uncle Billy?
He's depositing $8,000 at the bank.
Well, well, Mr. Potter, here to personally guard your money?
Look out, Bailey, you old fool, my wheelchair.
Did you see the news? Harry Bailey gets Medal of Honor. What do those Bailey boys do next?
Huh? Let me see that newspaper.
Sure, you can have my Tribune. Sorry, I can't chat more, you old thief. I gotta go make a deposit.
Next customer, please.
Hello. Let's see here. Here you are, a bank book, deposit slip, and a Merry Christmas to you.
And to you, too. Mr. Bailey, but haven't you forgotten something?
I forget things all the time.
So, Mr. Bailey, where's the money?
What?
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
The money? The money! It's gone! Where'd I put that money?
Guard, wheel me out of here!
We continue now in hour number two of It's a Wonderful Life. WGN Radio's Christmas gift to you. That's not funny. It's sponsored by the Illinois Lottery, where anything is possible. This is John Williams. Remember, my online kettle is at johnwilliamskettle.org. We started the broadcast at $17,000, and we're now over $17,600. So keep them coming, gang.
We've listened as Uncle Billy has just lost the $8,000 deposit for the savings and loan. Now we return to It's a Wonderful Life.
Take note, Clarence. Uncle Billy couldn't find the deposit money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in that newspaper he gave to Mr. Potter.
The money was in the newspaper. So that's why George and Uncle Billy are going crazy scouring the street. Up and down, side to side, all over the place. All over.
I just don't know what happened to it, George. I just don't know.
$8,000, Uncle Billy. And the bank examiner's here. It belongs to the depositors.
Oh, we've traced every step I took.
Well, maybe you never put it in the envelope and never put it in your pocket in the first place.
Maybe. But, oh, I'm no good to you, George. No good.
Now, where's that money? You old fool. This means bankruptcy and scandal, prison. One of us is going to jail. Well, it won't be me. You keep looking, you hear? I'm going home.
George!
George? You haven't said a word since you came home. Well, was Zuzu sleeping?
No. She was showing me some flower prize she won at school. I touched it and a few of the petals fell off. She asked me to fix it, but I... Oh, does Janie have to keep playing that same song over and over?
I gotta practice for the Christmas party, Daddy.
What is it, dear? A hectic day?
Oh, yeah, it was a red-letter day for the Baileys, yeah.
Hey, Dad, the Browns got a brand new car. You should see it.
Well, what's the matter with our car? Is it not good enough for you?
Sorry, Dad, I only...
Run along now, Petey.
Oh, why is Zuzu in bed so early anyway?
She caught a little cold coming home from school. Didn't button up her coat. She just didn't want to crush that prize flower, so...
Wait, what do you mean, a little cold?
It's okay, dear. The doctor said it was nothing serious.
The doctor, eh? The doctor came. This is drafty old house, I tell you. It's a wonder we don't all have pneumonia.
George?
I mean it. Why do we live here in the first place? Why do we live in this crummy little town?
What's wrong, dear?
Oh, everything's wrong. Why do we have to have all these kids anyway?
Daddy, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know. Ask your mother.
Hello? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. Oh, she'll be all right.
Now, who is that, Mary?
It's Mrs. Welch, Zuzu's teacher. What? Oh, well, the doctor says she should be out of bed in...
Hey, Mary, give me that phone.
George, please.
Yeah, is this Mrs. Welch? Yeah, well, this is Mr. Bailey. Now, what kind of teacher are you anyway? Do you realize she could get pneumonia because of you?
George!
Yeah, silly, careless people like you sending kids home half naked, you know. Well, my kids are... They're not the best-dressed kids. Hey, hello? Hello? Hey, Janie, enough with the piano already. Cut it out, would you? Stop.
Oh, Daddy.
George, whatever is wrong with you? Must you torture the children, too?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Janie. I'm sorry, Mary.
George.
Yeah, you know, I've got to just get out of here.
So you're $8,000 short in your accounts, George. You say the money was lost. What if it was stolen? Maybe you should notify the police.
Yeah, no, sir. You see, Harry's coming on his homecoming tomorrow, and well, the publicity, you know.
So you've come to me for a loan. Why not your buddy, Sam Wainwright?
Well, I tried to get a hold of him, but he's in Europe right now.
So you want a loan from me for $8,000. What do you have as collateral, George?
Well, I have my life insurance policy, a $15,000 policy.
$15,000. But what's your equity in it?
$500.
$500, and you want an emergency loan on Christmas Eve for $8,000?
Yeah.
You're pathetic, George Bailey. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. Well, George Bailey, what are you but a warped, frustrated young man?
Yeah, well, I... Yeah.
Look at you now, crawling to me for help. Ha! Go to the riffraff you love so well. Go beg them for help.
Oh, please, Mr. Potter. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Get out of here.
The nerve of that Henry Potter. He had George's $8,000 sitting in his desk drawer.
Well, what's George going to do now, boss? Where is he?
Well, he's at Martini's Tavern. George has had a couple of drinks. He's dazed. Just standing there.
Our Father, who art in heaven there... Oh, God, I've never been a praying man, but, if you're listening, just show me the way, please. I'm lost, God. I'm lost. Please.
Mr. Bailey, you all right? Mr. Martini, George, you don't look so good.
You right, the Nick. Mr. Bailey, you're drinking too much.
Hold it. Which Bailey are you talking about?
This Mr. Bailey. Mr. George Bailey.
George Bailey? Why, you little diva! I hate you, you know. Listen, Bailey, if you ever talk to my wife that way again, I promise you, you'll wake up naked at the Bijou. Ain't it enough that she slaves away teaching your insufferable little ankle biters how to read and write? Then you gotta bawl her out on the phone!
Hey, beat it, Mr. Welch! You punched my best friend out of here!
Okay, I'm out. Don't touch. Don't touch!
Oh, Welch, beat it!
This is product. Costs more than you make in a year. I'm leaving.
Say, Martini, who was that colorful fellow?
Mr. Bailey, how you doing?
Now, who was that guy anyway?
That the Mr. Weld. She come in here no more. Wait, Mr. Bailey. I got this something for your face. Look at the blood.
No, fine. That's all right.
Oh, please, don't go, Mr. Bailey.
Go on. Just let me be, huh? Let me be alone, you hear?
Well, Clarence, George is now at the river. He's about to jump. Do you have your plan ready?
I don't know, boss.
Well, if you can save George Bailey's life, you'll get your wings.
My wings? Yeah, my wings. I won't let you down, boss. I won't let you down. George Bailey! George Bailey, don't jump, George! Get away from that bridge! George, stop!
We'll return to the WGN radio presentation.
You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life, WGN Radio's holiday gift to you. You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life on WGN Radio. When we last left, Clarence was devising a plan with the Superintendent of Angels to save George Bailey's life.
A troubled George Bailey stands on the Bedford Falls toll bridge, convinced that he's worth more dead than alive. Deep in despair, George stares at the freezing waters below, poised to end it all, when suddenly...
Oh my God! Hey, wait, mister! Here I come!
You two sure are lucky my toll booth is open tonight. Otherwise, you would have froze to death, jumping in the river like that. Are you warming up now?
Well, I'm okay. Are you, mister?
Clarence, and I'm fine, although my underwear's a bit out of fashion. Are you boxers or briefs? Well, you know, I passed away in these.
You passed what?
And Tom Sawyer's drying out, too, here.
The name's George.
No. My book. I still had Tom Sawyer with me, but you know, this is a Tom Sawyer quality to you, young man. Lots of ideas, wanderlust. I see it.
Yeah, so how'd you fall in the river?
Fall in? I didn't fall in. I jumped in. Jumped in to save you, George.
You jumped in to save me.
Well, it worked, right? You didn't go through with your plan, did you?
Go through with what plan?
You know, suicide.
Hey, you can't commit suicide around here. I think it's against the law.
It is where I come from.
Where do you come from, mister?
Oh, you know, heaven.
What?
Yeah, right.
Oh, George, you're bleeding your lip.
Oh, that? Well, I got punched to answer my prayer.
No, George, I'm the answer to your prayer. I was sent down from heaven to help you.
Oh, come on.
I'm Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
AS2?
You know, Angel, second class.
Angel? Right. Well, I'm going to see if any other angels need to be saved by somebody. Hey, anything's possible.
Clarence, now why save me?
Well, because killing yourself's a sin, especially for $8,000. And I know all about you, George Bailey. Remember, guardian angel.
Yeah. You're just the kind of angel that I'd get, too. Angel, huh? So where'd you get your wings, then, huh?
I'm an angel second class, George. I haven't won my wings yet, but you can help me earn them by letting me help you. Help me help you.
Help me, you say? Okay. You couldn't help me with $8,000 there, could you?
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, well, it sure comes in handy down here, Bob, I'll tell you. I just found it a little late, that's all. But since you know so much, did you know I'm worth more dead than alive?
Oh, don't talk that way, George. I'll never get my wings if you keep that up. You just don't realize what you've done for people. I mean, if it hadn't been for you...
Yeah. If it hadn't been for me, they'd all be better off. My wife, my kids, my friends. I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, that's a good one, George.
A good what?
The plan. The plan you just gave me. Kind of reminds me of Tom Sawyer. Well, let me see here.
Hey, what the... What's that?
Okay, George, you got your wish. You were never born.
Never born, you say?
That's right. You got no worries, no missing $8,000. You don't even exist.
Hey, wait there. My ear. Say something in my bad ear.
You hear me all right? You don't have a bad ear. That's because you're not the George Bailey you used to be. Now you're... Well, congratulations. You're nobody.
Oh, that's nuts. But I can't hear.
And in your lip. Your lip stopped bleeding there. You see that?
Hey, you know, it did. What's happening? I need a drink. Yeah, that's what. How about you, Angel? You want to join me for a drink?
Well, a drink would be good, but I am on duty, you know.
Oh, come on, join me. When our clothes are dry, we can...
They are dry. See, they never got wet, you see?
Okay. Let's dress. We'll walk over to Martini's and have a... I'm sorry, no wings. Well, after a few drinks, we'll both be flying.
Hey, what'll it be, fellas?
I'm Nick. Is Martini still here?
You want a martini? Oh, are you a wise guy?
No. Just give me a double bourbon then, huh?
And for you?
Oh, I just love some mulled wine with a... dollop of nutmeg and just a dash of cloves. Hop to it, my lively lad.
Oh, what?
Oh, no, that's okay, Nick. Just give him the same as you gave me.
Two double bourbons.
Why is Nick acting that way? What's going on here? This tavern, it's all changed.
Yeah, Bedford Falls has changed. You got your wish, George. You were never born. It's a different world without you. Ah, good. Ah, great. At least somebody made it.
How's that? Made what, Clarence?
Okay, boys, here are your drinks.
Well, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
What'd you say? Angel?
Angel. Second class.
Yeah. Clarence, you don't want to talk about angels in here.
Why is that? Don't y'all believe in angels?
Oh, yeah, sure, they believe in them, but,
So they're surprised to actually see one.
In a bar? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nick. He just never grew up.
Oh, sure I did. Next September, I'll be 293.
Two pixies, eh? I'll bet you don't got any money either.
Of course not. We don't use money in heaven.
Well, this ain't heaven. That's enough. Out, out! Get out of my bar!
Well, wait a minute. Your bar? Well, where's Martini, Nick?
You ain't getting no Martini. And how do you know my name anyway? I don't know you from... Hey, you again?
Spare some change, sir. Spare some...
Oh, no, Rummy. I told you never to come in here panhandling.
Mr. Gower, listen, you know me. I'm George Bailey.
Buy
George
me a drink.
Bailey.
Buy me a drink, mister. Just one, huh?
Throw that Rummy out of here.
Please, no,
But wait a minute. That's Mr. Gower, you know, from the pharmacy.
Yeah? That rumhead did 20 years in prison for poisoning a kid. If you know him, maybe you're a jailbird, too. Bill, get these two out of here. Out, out, out!
What happened to Mr. Gower? Or how can that be? Poisoning a kid.
Now, come on, George, pay attention. Don't you see? You weren't there to stop Gower from putting the poison into the...
Wait a minute. I wasn't there. Well, sure I was there.
No, you weren't there. Because you weren't ever born.
Never born? Well, who am I then?
You're nobody. You're nobody, George, just like you asked. You have no identity.
What do you mean? I'm George Bailey.
No, you're not. No papers, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Thank you. Oh, Zuzu's petals. I was kind enough to fix them for her flower.
They're not there either, George. You might have put them in your pocket before, but now they don't exist.
It's gone. Just gone. What am I, a ghost?
You've been given a gift, George. To see the world as if you've never been born.
Oh, you're nuts. You're driving me nuts, too, mister. I'm going to go home to my wife and my family. You hear me? Just leave me alone.
You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life. This is WGN Radio's holiday gift to you. Our story will continue in a moment. It's presented by the Illinois Lottery. Anything's possible.
Yeah, step on it there, Ernie. You got to get me home. I'm losing my mind.
Uh-huh. So, where do you live, bub?
Oh, cut that out, Ernie. Don't pull that act on me. I live at 320 Sycamore.
320 Sycamore?
Yeah, listen, Ernie. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe I'm crazy or something. Maybe I had some bad liquor, you know. Tell me now. Your name is Ernie Bishop, right? And you live with your wife and your son over in Bailey Park.
What? Have you seen my wife?
Well, seen your wife? Well, of course I have. At your house. 100 times. I built it for you, didn't I?
My wife took the kid and ran away 5 years ago, and I rent one of Potter's shacks. I've never seen you before.
Okay, Ernie. Okay. Well, just keep driving, then. Hey, Mary, kids, where is everybody? Petey, Janie, Zuzu, where are you?
Ah, George, this is just an abandoned house now. You don't have a wife. You don't have any children.
Well, what's happened to them?
In there, officer. That's him. He's off his rocker.
Hold it, you two. This is the police. Put your hands up.
Bert. Bert the cop. Wait, it's me.
Yeah, take it easy, mister. Just come along quiet-like, and we'll get you some help.
Well, Bert, what's happened to you? Look at this guy here. He's an angel. He hypnotized me.
I'm taking the both of you in.
Ow!
Let go of me, you.
Now's your chance, George. Run! Run!
Ow!
Bite me, will ya?
Hey, you wouldn't beat up an old angel, would you? What? Hey, stop it! Stop it! Boss, help me!
You.
Help me, boss! Auntie M! Toto!
Hey, Ernie, where'd the guy go?
I don't know. He just disappeared. The other one ran down south. Sycamore, come on!
I'm sorry, George.
Oh, you again. Oh, my mother. My mother didn't recognize me. Well, what is this place? Where's the housing development? Bailey Park. My dad and I built it. We built it right...
right here.
And as you can see, George, it's a cemetery.
Cemetery? Where are the houses and the people?
Oh, they're here, George. They're right here.
What?
Amidst these tombstones. Martini's buried here, and the little Blaine girl, your father, and right next to him.
Harry? Harry Bailey, dead?
Your little brother fell through the ice, drowned at the age of 9.
Oh, no. Harry got the Medal of Honor. Harry saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died, George.
Well, how?
Harry wasn't there. He wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry.
Me?
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. You know, George, you really had a wonderful life.
Wonderful, huh?
The kingdom of heaven is spread upon the earth, but men do not see it. Don't you see? See what a mistake it would be to throw your life away, George?
Oh, but what about Mary? Please, where's my wife? You can tell me where she is.
No. You're not going to like it, George.
Oh, just tell me what's become of her, eh? Where's my wife? Where is she? You got to tell me. Do I have to choke it out of you?
Look, she never married. She's an old maid. She works at the library. She's just closing up for the night, but she doesn't want to see you, George. George, come back! George, you've got to be an easier way to earn these stupid wings.
Hey, Mary. Hey, Mary, I.
I'm sorry, sir. The library is closed.
Oh, no, Mary. You see, it's me. It's George. It's George. Come on, you know me.
No, I don't know you. Excuse me.
Mary. Mary, I got you. I want you. Please.
Mob signs.
No! Stop! Let me go! Somebody help me! He's mad!
You're listening to It's a Wonderful Life, WGN Radio's holiday gift to you. Our story will continue in a moment, presented by the Illinois Lottery. Anything's possible. We return now to It's a Wonderful Life, presented by the Illinois Lottery. This is John Williams. Visit johnwilliamskettle.org. Gang, we're over $18,000. Merry Christmas and thank you. This scene will include a cameo by the original Zuzu. Carolyn Grimes is here. Our story is about to climax. As when we last left George Bailey, he was trying to talk with Mary. But since he had never been born, Mary didn't recognize him and was terrified. Now we return.
Say, Clarence, where are you?
Here I am, George. So, what are you going to do, jump off the bridge again?
Oh, no. No, I'm not, Clarence. I want things to be back the way they were, you see. I just got back and I saw my wife and my kids, Clarence. I want to live. I want to live again.
That's the spirit, George. Don't despair. Always be willing.
Yeah. Yes. Can you do it? Can you do it for me, Clarence? I want to live. I want to live again. Oh, God, just let me live again. Yeah, let me live again. Yes, God, that's all I want. I want to live again, you see. God, please.
George, what are you doing here?
Huh? Well, Bert, come closer and I'll...
About George?
What? What, George? George, Bert, do you know me? Do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you, George.
Well, why, Bert? I'm alive again. I'm alive again.
George, are you all right, George? You know, your mouth's bleeding.
Yeah, my mouth. Hey, my mouth, it's bleeding. Oh, look at the blood. It's oozing out of there. Oh, hey, Zuzu's petals. I had them right here in my right pocket, right over. They're there. They're in my pocket. Hey, Merry Christmas, Bird. I'm going home. I know the way home. Oh, boy, do I know the way home. And Merry Christmas, Bert.
Merry Christmas, George.
What? Hey, what? What's all this stage murmuring? The reporters, the sheriff, yeah, and you.
Carter, bank examiner. Mr. Bailey, your books show a deficit.
Yeah, I know, $8,000, right?
George, I've got a warrant for your arrest
here.
Yeah,
a warrant, Sheriff, and jail, too. Isn't that wonderful? Merry Christmas.
Daddy! Merry Christmas, Daddy!
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love you. I love you so, kids. Hey, where's your mother?
Out looking for you with Uncle Billy. Oh. Daddy!
Zuzu! Aw, Ginger Snap, how you feeling?
Fine, Daddy. Not a smidge of temperature.
Oh, not a smidge. Oh, hallelujah.
George? George! Mommy!
Oh, Mary.
George, where did you go?
Oh, Mary.
Oh, George.
Oh, Mary, I have to touch you.
You have
as
no
much as they'll allow at this time of day.
What's happened?
I want to hold you, too. Oh, you have no idea what's happened.
You have no idea what's happened.
George! George, look what I've got!
Oh, Uncle Billy!
Money, George! Bushels of money! Mary worked a miracle, didn't you, Mary?
People heard you were in trouble, dear. Your friends, they've pitched in to help you. The $8,000!
Oh, I don't know. What, Charlie and Martini and Mr. Gower. Oh, Mr. Gower, thank you. Just want to say, I can't believe it. And Ernie!
Well, none of us would have a roof over our head if it wasn't for you, George.
Yeah!
Well, my mother and Harry!
George, Mary called us in Washington. I flew in as fast as I could.
Come on, everybody. A toast! Harry!
Yes, a toast to my brother George, the richest man in town. To George!
Somebody left a book here, under the tree.
A book? Why, it's the Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And there's an inscription, too. Dear George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
Clarence?
Yeah, Clarence. A very dear friend of mine.
Daddy, look. See my little bell hanging on the Christmas tree?
Oh, I see it there, Zuzu.
I hung it up there all by myself. Daddy, Mrs. Welch says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Oh, that's right, Zuzu. That's right. Oh, thank you, Clarence. Thank you. It truly is a wonderful life. Happy landings.
Concludes our broadcast of It's a Wonderful Laugh. Special thanks to the original Zuzu. This is John Williams. Thanks for listening, and a special thanks, too, to our stage managers, including Kristen Decker, Bill Murdoch and Bill Malone on the dials, Kevin Powell too, Bob Ferguson is sitting right here, and Stephanie Menendez did all of the hard behind-the-scenes work. Merry Christmas from all of us at WGN. The news is next.